And the title is Drought to Life, right? And Lord really gave me that word because so many of us go through times in our lives where it appears to be drought, where it appears to be every day is the same thing and there seems to be no life springing forth from our lives, if you will. And even as we pursue God, even as we truly are in the Word, in worship, we're really seeking after God, but it's like nothing. And I want to really look at that. And that's what the refreshment of God is. Sometimes we don't feel that we're being refreshed. But what God's asking us to do is abide in Him. And He will allow that refreshing life, that refreshing water, not just to refresh us, but to refresh all those around us, right? So drought to life, right? And our theme, right, for this quarter, right, is grounded to launch. And I love this because grounded to launch means to be fully prepared and ready to begin a new project or initiative, like a rocket firmly on the ground before taking off. Essentially, it signifies a state of being well established and poised to rapidly move forward. So, as you read that this morning, I'm just a question for every one of us, and I want you to examine your hearts as we go through this. Are you in that place? Are you in that place where you're just ready to launch, ready for what God is calling you to in 2025? Are we in that place where we're in such relationship with God that we're seeking Him, even if we don't see the life stemming from everything that we're doing? But we're in a place of drought that we're still pursuing off the God and being in that place of ready at any moment, just say, all right, Lord, I'm ready. Send me, you know what I'm saying? And the Lord is in, when He gives us that word, that we're able to just go, right? And spiritual refreshments. This is why I say it's different between refresh something and spiritual refreshment. Spiritual refreshment can mean to feel renewed or energized spiritually. It can also mean to find calm and rest for your soul. How many people this morning want that, to find calm and rest for your soul? How many of us want to be in whatever situation we're facing that we can be calm, that we can just be, yes. All right, Lord, I trust in You. I trust that whatever You bring me through, You bring me through it for a reason. And I'm going to trust and be calm in You, O Father God, right? So that's kind of the parameters of the message this morning. Before we get into it, I just want to bow my head in prayer. If you bow your head with me, I just want to leave us with the, kind of leave before we head and go into prayer. The way is, and it's always the same thing. You know, it seems like the Christian message, it's such a simple message, but such a hard message to actually walk out every day consistently, right? Because prayer, right? Pray for morning offering. You can also pray for refreshment, meditation, worship, reading the Word of God, and confession, right? These are all, if we do these continually, if that is a part of our walk every day, in some, it doesn't have to be in that exact order, but in all of those are in that mix. I guarantee you that you'll have calm, that you'll have peace, even as you go through areas of drought and areas of just testing in your life. So we get into the Word this morning, but I'm just going to open up in prayer. Lord, I just thank You, Lord. I thank You for Your Word this morning, Lord. I thank You that You are just continually reminding us, O Father God, that You are our perfect peace, O Father God. You are the one, O Father God, who establishes our lives, our situations, our futures, O Father God. You are the ones who even caused us to look at that which You've already done, O Father God, and have the ability to have faith in You for a future, O Father God. So, Lord God, I ask that today, O Father God, even as we go through Your Word, that You would open our eyes, our ears, our mind, so we would hear, see, and comprehend all that You have for us, that Your Word, O Father, would be a cleansing word, a refreshing word to us, O Lord God, as we start this year of 2025, and it will be one where we are truly ready to launch, grounded and ready to launch. So, Lord God, I ask that You hide me this morning, that You would have Your way in my heart, have Your way in my mind, O Father God, and deliver through me a powerful message, O Father God, that Your Holy Spirit would take hold of this message and deliver it for us, each and every one of us, so we would be cleansed this morning by the washing of the Word. I thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 So I'm going to jump into 1 Kings 17, that whole chapter of 17. And everybody here, I'm sure you all know this historical event. I'm sure you've read it multiple times, right? But I just want to look at it from this perspective, right? And we know it's about Elijah, right? And Elijah was probably one of the most famous prophets in all of Israel. But yet no book was ever written about Elijah, right? He was there on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus, right? But no great acclaim is given to Elijah, right? His stature was promoted by God in so many different ways, but never claiming himself to be any more than a servant of God, right? But as we go through this, I don't want you getting caught up in the fact that this was Elijah. Because Elijah was a servant of God. He saw himself as a servant of God. He saw himself as an instrument in God's hands. And if you are saved, if you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you too are an instrument in God's hands. God can use you just as he used Elijah. Well, the thing that was so prevalent in Elijah's life is he was like, all right, Lord, okay, I'll go. Okay, Lord, I'll do. You know what I'm saying? And he did not look for more than God gave him or more than God was bringing him to, regardless how it looked. Right? And as we approach our Christian life, we have to approach God in that same manner. Right? We can't look and ask and pray and God now asks for patience and God gives us people to try our patience and then we grumble because God brought that person into our lives. Right? You know, when we ask God for something, he's going to do it in his way. We have to get on board with his plan. We have to get on board with his purpose and we have to then see what God is going to do and how he's going to use each one of those events in our lives. Right? So, now Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, except by my word. The first thing I want to point out here, right? This is Elijah being introduced. Now we know in the Jewish tradition, heritage, lineage, all that was so important, especially if you were to be a prophet of God, especially if you were a man of God, you had to be shown of good lineage, right? That your house had to actually be brought through the whole lineage of the tribe of Israel, right? Here, there is nothing said. There is no evidence given of where Elijah came from, right? There is no evidence of his parents, of the clan he came from. There's supposition as to where he came from, but no stamp of authenticity by mankind. But God's stamp was upon Elijah. And no one could argue that he was a man of God because of how God worked through his life, right? So I just want to, and again, I want to remind every one of us here this morning that it doesn't matter what your past was. It doesn't matter where you came out of. If you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are a new creation in Christ. The old has gone, right? And now our lineage is no longer that of what we were before. Our lineage is in Christ and it's secure in Christ. And as we continue to listen to the Lord, God will establish your lineage. People will not be able to argue as to whether you are a man of God, a woman of God or not, because God's evidence will follow you wherever you go, right? And as that follows you, right, then your testimony will be established by the work that God is doing. That's why James always says, you know, show me your faith and I'll show you your works. Faith and works is combined. But not that they're independent of each other, not because one, you have one because of the other, but they are combined, right? And the word of the Lord came to him saying, go away from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. It shall be that you will drink of the brook that I have commanded the ravens to provide for you there. Sorry. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and lived by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he would drink from the brook. It happened after a while that the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. And we all know this sequence of events in Elijah's life, right? But what I want to do is instead of putting Elijah in that place, put yourself in that place. How many times have we been walking with the Lord? The Lord has given us, he gave Elijah this command to say that there would be no rain, that famine was going to come upon the land of Israel, right? That famine was going to come upon that land and there was no way of averting it, right? Now, in the next sentence that God says to him is, go and hide yourself, right, by this brook. How many of us, when we reach calamity in our lives, are even listening for what God is saying to us? How many of us are even so focused that you hear the actual as for our sustenance through that storm, right? And that's something that we first have to ask ourselves. Are we so, when trouble comes upon us, is our first reaction to try and actually fix it? Or is our first reaction to say, okay, hold on a sec. What is God telling me to do in this? What is God's instruction to me, right? Because I believe that if Elijah had been able to be among the people and was actually ministering to the people at the time, and I'm sure the Lord was understanding in this as well, that his relationship with Elijah, that the people of Israel would have started to have hope in Elijah. They would start to have putting their hope in that he would be their redeemer. He would be the one who would bring them out of it. And God's desire was that they would look to him. Right? And that's the same thing for us. We can't look to Elijah. We can't look to our spouse. We can't look to our pastors. We can't look to anybody else to deliver us from what God is bringing us through, except God. We have to come to that place. You can ask for advice. Yes, you can actually ask for counsel, all that stuff. I'm not saying to isolate yourself, by no means. But you should not be just asking. Those. You should be seeing if what the instruction you're getting from your brothers and sisters in Christ lines up with what God is telling you, right? And as he was going through this, right, for 3 years, or well, they don't give an exact time, but it's estimated about 3 years, 2.5 to 3 years, that Elijah sat by this brook. Nothing else to do. Okay, just think about this, right? God has given you a word. He is, and now, you know when you get a word from God, you're full of energy, you're full of desire to accomplish something, and God takes you and sits you by a brook for 3 years, you know? And yeah, and not only that, but then the actual ravens come in and out, one in the morning, one in the evening, with bread and meat, right? And that is just sustenance. I mean, how many of us who sit there all day, what if the ravens don't come today? What if God was actually with me? We would be questioning everything all day long. That's a long day to sit there and wait for a raven to come with bread, right? You know, so many of us have active imaginations, active thought processes, right? And God gave us those. But I guarantee you that while Elijah, just by looking at this, the actual events that transpired from here, Elijah was sitting before God and asking God, what is it that you, why is it you have me here? What is it you're preparing me for? And he was entrenched in actually pursuing after God, even during that time, right? And that's us, that's for us as well. Don't ever see yourself in a situation. Don't ever think that you're in a situation that is too great for God. If you become a child of God, God cares about every instance in your life. His desire is that he would be your provision for every instance in your life. But we can't trust that. We can't trust God in just being that instance. We have to try and figure it out in our heads. What if this doesn't happen? What if that doesn't happen? What if I misheard God? What if I'm supposed to do this now instead of later? And we start asking all these questions, and all of a sudden that sort of starts to sow doubt into our hearts. And doubt is the greatest killer of the promises of God. Because we start to trust in everything else except God, and we start to send the message back to God, I doubt that you can do this. I don't trust that you can do this. And now God has another lesson that he needs to bring us through. So he's already brought us to one place, but now he has to train us up in how to trust him even in that. So it's vital that we get that. This year especially, if you're not familiar with doing that, I urge you to become familiar with that. Fight every urge that's in you to do anything else except trust God. And seek God while you're in, even, you know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be times of calamity. It can be times of mountaintop experiences, right? Because those mountaintop experiences can trip us up just as easily as a valley experience. Because we can be so elated that all of a sudden we make all these decisions, and all of a sudden we find ourselves in a place that God never meant us to be, right? And now we have to be taken back onto the path that God had for us, right? So no matter what it is, God is the one we should be pursuing after. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. I love this. The whole land now at this point is under famine. 2.5 to 3 years of famine at this point, right? There is no bread. There is no water. There is nothing in the land. There's been no rain on this land for over 2.5 years, maybe even 3 years at this point, right? And all of a sudden, Elijah sees this brook dry up. The ravens stop coming, right? And he does hear again. He's got the sense to hear from God, number one. Number two, he's got the trust in the Lord to say, okay, I will go up to that place and depend on you, Lord, that you have one person who still has bread and water somehow when everybody else is starving around. Everybody else is dying off. But I will trust that you have one person that you are sending me to. How many of us can have that same trust in God? How many of us try trusting God? How many of us get to a point where we're like, all right, I'm going to put this on God's altar. I'm going to put it there. And we leave it there for a day. We leave it there for 2 days. And all of a sudden we see that God's not really responding. We have to actually now start to get worried. Oh, I don't know if this is going to happen. And we take it off the altar again, right? And doubt that God can actually do it. What we have to do is leave it on the altar and trust that God is the one who will provide, right? And then as God instructs us, just do what God instructs us to do. Because as we're going through this, it doesn't matter. You know, we have all these ideas. We are a creative people. We are a creative people because we were made in the image and likeness of God. And just look around you. If there isn't a immeasurable creativity all around us, in everything you see, the hand of the Creator, His thumbprint is on all of it. There is nothing that has such design that can't have a master designer. It's just impossible to imagine such a creation that is around us, so perfect in the tiniest, minuscule ways, and that there isn't some hand of creation behind it, right? And then He said He made us in His image and likeness. So it only goes to show that we would be creators also, right? And our desire is to create things, our desire is to do things, and we've done a lot of things, but not every good thing is a God thing, right? So many things that we believe we've done that's good. Look at technology. But what's technology doing? It's taking us from being a societal people to an isolated people. Right? We're all sitting in front of our computers. We're sitting in the same car, texting each other back and forth from front seat to back seat, right? We're sitting in the same church, so we're texting back and forth to each other, right? We're on the same job, texting back and forth. We're not talking to each other. There's, you know, you can text all day long and still have no real human connection, right? And human connection is what we need. We need relationship. So we think that technology is this great thing. And listen, it's got its, I'm not knocking technology. But the thing is that we have designed this. We have come in and put design behind it, and it wasn't used in a godly manner, if you will. It wasn't used with the idea, let's bring everybody together. Somehow, let's use this to bring people together, to bless people's lives, to cause it to actually benefit people instead of isolating people, right? And that's what happens when we start creating, and it's not God creating. It's not the hand of God doing it, right? So, again, it's so vital that when we're in that place, even if you're in that place and all of a sudden God shows up and you've been going through drought, you've been going through a season of just not knowing which way to travel, and God shows up and says one word, do what God says. Not what you think you could add to make it better. Do what God says. You know, here Elijah got up and went to Sidon. He didn't even know what the woman looked like. He didn't know her name. He didn't know anything. He just said, well, God's telling me there is a woman that's going to take care of me there. So I'm just going to go. Now, we have to get that simplistic with God. And we have to be able to hear God. We cannot hear God. You cannot hear God. It's this simple. You cannot hear God without being in relationship with Him. You will not recognize His voice. God may be speaking to you. But with all the other voices that's going on all around you, you are not hearing the voice of God. And therefore missing the direction that God has for you, right? So in 10, so he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please, Give me a little water in a jar that I may drink. And she was, and she, as she was going to get it, he called her and said, please bring me a piece of bread in your hand. Now remember, there's been a drought. There's been a famine for 2.5 years. So even this is a huge request. It's not just a normal request. But I'm sure that he's looking for the provision of God. How often do we enter a place and look for the provision of God? How often do we start a new job? How often do we go into a whatever it is, an event that God has us going to, be it men's breakfast, be it here on a Sunday, wherever it is, and say, all right, what has God got for me here? Why am I here? In other words, we should not be people who just go places. We are messengers sent by our King. Wherever it is we go, we are ambassadors of Christ, right? So when God sends us somewhere, he sends us somewhere to affect the life of somebody else. And are we asking God, Lord, why have you got me here? What is it you're looking for? Let me ask questions and see if I can find out what it is. But if we're just going somewhere and then trying to figure out ourselves how to make this better, how to make this productive, how can I do this and actually also spread the gospel message? Now I'm limiting to my own mind. I'm limiting to what I know, what I can see, what I've experienced. Well, God's ways are not my ways. God's thoughts are not my thoughts. So I need to go to God and say, all right, Lord, what is it that you want? Right? And start looking for that. Right? Because, but she said, as the Lord our God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in a bowl and a little oil in a jar. And behold, I am gathering a few sticks that I may go and prepare a meal for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Does that sound like the lady that God had to provide for Elijah? I mean, really, if you actually think about this, right? You're walking into a town and you're saying, okay, God's got someone for me, right? And that person's like, what? You want to drink from me? I'm just making a cake so I can die. You know, I'm just going off and I'm just, you know, me and my son are going to go find a corner somewhere and die, right? How discouraging would that be? You know, and how much would that wreck your world, right? How much would that throw you into a state of confusion, right? But that's not Elijah's response. And I just want, and again, I'm pointing it back because this historical event is addressing Elijah. But put yourself in Elijah's place. Examine your heart as we're going through this. How many times has God brought you into an exact similar situation? And when it didn't appear as though God showed up, are you going to say, oh, maybe I didn't hear God right? Or maybe that was the enemy trying to trick me? Or maybe, and we start putting all these other scenarios ahead instead of saying, no, God said this. And I'm going to continue in confidence in that. I'm going to stand on God's word, and I don't care how that appears to me. I'm going to stand because I trust that God is the one who can, the only one who can get me out of this. But the thing is, it's a fine line, because unless we go to that place, we can miss God's provision. Unless we take that step in faith, we miss God's provision. Unless we take that, we establish in our minds, I'm going to trust God. We are not going to see God's provision. Because now what ends up is we end up doubting. We end up putting our own next sentence to that. And now we say, well, maybe I heard God wrong. Maybe I did this. Or then you start hearing the enemy saying, well, look what happened on your way here. You were doing this, you were doing that, you were doing the other thing. You don't even deserve it anyway. Maybe God had that for you, but he took it away from you because of this, that, the other thing. That's not how God works. That if God is doing something in your life, God is going to do something in your life. And God's desire is that we would all be hearing from him continually and in that place of a communion with him, right? And God will bring us to situations that we were able to do. He will not give us more than we can bear. And I don't think that ever, and I, you know, as I've gone through my Christian walk, right? There's so many times I've said to the Lord, Lord, I think you've given me more than I can bear, right? But I've learned that it isn't about suffering that God's talking about. He doesn't give us more than we can bear in our Christian walk. He doesn't give us more than we can believe for. But he brings us higher and higher so that we can believe him for more and more, so that we can actually trust him for more and more. And that's what's happening here with Elijah. That's what should be what's happening with us every single day. That as we come to a place and as we decide, I'm going to trust God, watch God show up. And as God shows up, the next time you arrive at that, now you'll have the strength to believe that God will show up again. Now, will your stretching of your faith be even more so at the next? Yes, but God's brought you to a point. We just need to go to the next step. God just said, take the next step. Just take the next step and say, Lord, I trust that if I take this step, that you will meet me here, right? So again, just think about this, right? As we're walking through, here's this lady said, well, I'm going to take my bread and water, a few sticks, and me and my son are going to die. And Elijah's faith, Elijah's trust, Elijah's hope even at this point could have easily been dashed. But it says, then Elijah said to her, do not fear, do as you have said, but make me a little bread cake from it first. And bring it out to me, right? So again, here's a guy, here's Elijah that knows. He knows, okay, she doesn't know what God has said. She doesn't know what God's about to do. But I'm going to have faith for both of us in this situation. And so many times, God calls us to that situation. That we come into a situation, and we try to breathe life in this situation, and one person just is not receiving it. God's desire is that we would have trust enough. That we will be able to speak life into that situation. And if we're hearing from God, God will give us the words to say. Like, this is a perfect answer to that. Elijah's not saying, oh, no, no, don't kill yourself, don't do this, and try to argue her out of it. He said, okay, do what you're doing, but before you do that, right? You know, it's like he doesn't try to argue out of it. He says, okay, all right, I hear you. You want to kill yourself. Okay, but before you do that, it would almost seem insensitive, right? But Elijah's not being insensitive. He's having faith enough for himself and for her, right? And he's bringing that woman and from a place of drought, right, to life, right? And afterwards, you may make one for yourself and for your son, right? But bring to me first, right? For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty, until the day that the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth. Now that is him speaking life into a situation that has nothing else but death in this woman's mind, right? But the beauty of it is that Elijah's saying, bring it to me first, right? So she has to trust that when she uses all this oil and all this flour, the last one she has, that there will be still more for her and her son after that. Right? So without even realizing, she's taking a step in faith. That those words of Elijah that are speaking to her are giving her a faith that she doesn't even realize that she's being led into. And that's what we have to be. That when we're in that place, when God is, we're in that place of hearing God, we're in that place of operating under God's direction, and we come to a place and we're trying to breathe life into someone's life, that we don't try and manufacture our own thoughts or our own ways of that person getting, you know, coming out of her, convincing them that this is how you should do. Let God be your instructor. Let God be the one who gives you timely words. Let God be the one who gives you timely intervention. And in those areas, that person, right? Whether it be unto salvation or whether it be just a growth in faith, either one, that person will experience a growth in their faith that they didn't even realize that they were stepping into. Because they will actually start to see, wow, hold on a sec. I did this. This is what this man of God says to me. And there's more flour, you know? Now, I'm sure that, I don't know how, the story doesn't elaborate on all of the details in this, but imagine every morning or every night you going to bed, right? Just imagine the faith it would take, or even the determination it would take, that Elijah's, first of all, going to still be there the next morning, right? And that bread and that oil will be filled for your next day's provision. How many of us are in situations today where we don't think we have enough for tomorrow, right? And all of a sudden we start trying to figure out, how can I get enough for tomorrow? How can I do this? How can I do that? How can I do the other? And God wants us to turn to Him and trust in Him. Because if God can do this, like, I just think about this. If God can make a bowl of flour and a jar of oil last for whatever amount of time it was, 6 months to a year, year and a half, right? Why can't He still do that now? There is nothing stopping God from doing that now, right? And He may not do it with a jar, with a bowl of flour and a jar of oil, but He is doing it every day in our lives. I mean, I know Pastor Ray says that, I say it all the time, that you cannot do God's math on a calculator. It's not just about math. You cannot hope in God in your own reasoning. You have to hope in God based on His word. You have to hope on God based on His promises. You have to hope on God according to the faith that He is growing and developing in you. Because if you try and figure it out in your own logic, you're not going to trust God. You're going to trust your logic and somehow get in there and put your hands in it and mess it all up. So here, this is such a wonderful, you know, story that God didn't just mean for Elijah. He meant it to be written down so that we would see it and that we would know God's provision, that we could trust in God's provision, and that whatever situation you're in, continue to persevere, continue to seek after God, continue, because God can do it at any time. He can you know, free hearts, He can free minds, He can open eyes, He can bring provision, He can open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you know you can't even contain. This is what His word says. Right? I can't do it. I can't turn around and write you a check that has all the zeros that you need on it, because my resources are limited. But God can. And God can send it from a place that you don't even know it's coming from. Right? So we have to put God back into that equation and not just put Him there hoping and making Him a plan A, but having plan B ready just in case. There's a plan A. That's it. God has to be our plan A. And we have to continue to trust. This lady was on her last loaf of bread. She was going to go and die. And God met her. Right? So there is never a time that we should be in despair to a point that we say we lose all hope in God. Because God stretches us, and He intentionally stretches us. Because we wouldn't walk. I wouldn't walk half the things. I would never even be here. I would never even be here except God continue to stretch me, continue to pull me, continue to draw me, continue to just make it imperative that this is what He wanted. Now, if it was a debate, I would still debate with Him saying, Lord, you might have chosen someone else. But God didn't. You know what I'm saying? And you know, the thing is that this is not nothing to do with me. This is God's decision. This is God's choosing. And every one of us has a calling from God. This is no different from someone's place in the worship team. This is no different from someone who's out in the parking lot directing traffic. The Spirit of God is meeting that person in the parking lot and preparing their hearts to receive here. That usher, that greeter, is meeting that person as soon as they come through the door, and they're preparing that person's heart so they can receive of the message, right? So every one of us play a part. When you go on your job, when you go wherever it is, to your home, God's desire is that you would recognize that you are a vessel of God. And there is desperation all around us, right? And God's desire is that we would be that life-giving bread to whoever it is that we encounter, right? So He went and did according to the word. So she went and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her household ate for many days. The bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord which He spoke through Elijah. And I love this. Why was it that the bowl or the oil did not become empty? Because of the word of the Lord. It wasn't Elijah who filled that bowl every day. It wasn't Elijah who filled the oil every day. It was the word of God that filled that bowl and filled that oil every day. Yes, He worked through Elijah. And yes, He can work through each and every one of us. But it is God who works through us. And His desire is that we would become so familiar with His working, so familiar with Him, that when we show up in our situation, that we would see how God wants to mend that heart, mend that life, address the situation, whatever it may be, and that we would have tender hearts towards that and realize that God can. I can't. Yes, I know I have feelings. I have flaws. I have all these issues that God is still working out in me. But even them, I place on God's altar and say, Lord, I trust you. And I'm telling you right now, the Lord has taken so much of that from me since the day I said yes to Jesus. And it's not anything more special about me than any one of you, right? We're all the same at the foot of the cross. Jesus loves every single one of us the exact same. So his desire is that he would bring every one of us to that place, and we would have testimony after testimony. We would have faith upon faith, and he would bring us from image to image and glory to glory, so that his name would be praised, so that his name would go out and be glorified among the people, so that people would see, they would see the love of God, and they would want after it. They would desire after it. That they would see what you have and say, I don't understand. How can that person be going through that right now and still have a smile on their face? Still have joy in their hearts? How can that be? And then when you're asked, you'll be able to give an answer, right? As it says in Peter, right? Now, it came about after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became sick. And his sickness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. So here we have it. This is where you say, Lord, you have given me more than I can bear. You know, because the Lord is now stretching her faith. She's stretching Elijah's faith. He has done a miraculous work in this household, right? And now, all of a sudden, her son dies. Now, all of a sudden, wait a second. Whoa, now you got to have a reality check. What's going on here? Is he a magician? Is he a sorcerer? Is there something going on? You know, and now all of a sudden, all this stuff can start crowding in, right? And if you listen, it says, so she said to Elijah, what do I have to do with you, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my iniquity to remembrance and to put my son to death. So immediately, here's Elijah living in her house. Through him, God has done a miraculous work. She's been fed. She's no longer suicidal. She's actually got hope in her life. And then one thing happens. And all of a sudden, it's like, God doesn't work. Right? How many of us have been in that place? How many of us are in that place? How many know people who are in that place? Oh, I've tried God. I've tried God. I've tried to see what God will do. I've tested God. I've trusted him for this. But he didn't show up in this. Right? And as we struggle with that, God's desire is that we would come to him. God's desire is that we would seek after him. Lord, why? And this is what I'm talking about when it says that, Lord, there's so many times where it says, Lord, you have given me more than I can bear. But God is true to his word. He does not give us more than we can bear. Because if we just come back to him, God will show us that not just did he not give us more than we could bear, but he has given us more than that. He has given us reason to even question and then give us the answer so that our faith will grow even all the more. So God is attentive to every single aspect. He's not satisfied with you just growing to a certain level. He wants you to be so filled with the Holy Spirit. He wants you to be so on fire with all that he has, that you want for nothing. That's what James says when you come to great joy, my brothers, right? When you're faced with trials of many different kinds, right? Because those trials are testing of your faith, and they build endurance. And when your endurance is fully met, you will want for nothing. And that's what God is doing here. He's showing us in this event that he is going to continue. That don't think that when God answers your prayer and you come to that place and you're like, all right, victory. That's it. Now you can sit back and relax. No, God is calling us higher. God is calling us deeper because he knows that that's where we need to go. He knows because when you get to that place, right? You get to that place of spiritual awakening. There is new warfare that you now see before you. There is new warfare that you are now going to experience. And it doesn't have to incite fear. What it should do is incite confidence that we have a God who's bigger than all that. He has already cleared a path around me. He has already secured a perimeter around me. But and God wants us to actually be able to believe him for that, so that when we walk in this newness, that now the parameter grows. And now we'll be able to walk and walk freely in so many different places. Things that hindered us before, things that would have prevented us from completing the tasks of God. Because we were hindered on all sides. I couldn't step out here because, that warfare I can't handle. God has expanded that. Now you can walk here, you can walk here, and he will continue to expand that area. And we will be able to walk in greater areas and have more effect in people's lives. Not for my glory, but for his glory. And his glory is not the glory that we look at as like, God's sitting there like, glorify me, glorify me. No, his glory is that people would start to see the light of God, the heart of God, the love of God. That's the glory of God. That people would actually start to see that and they'd be awakened from their slumber. They'd be awakened from this darkness that engulfs them, right? But we have to be willing to allow God to expand that territory, to expand on either side. And the only way you can do that is by bringing us from image to image and glory to glory, by continuing to put us in situations where we have to trust him. So when you find yourself in a situation where you need to trust someone, trust God. Ask others to verify if you want, but I guarantee you that if you're seeking God and you're seeking after godly counsel, that their counsel will verify what God's already doing. And that's the way it should be always, that we're reading God's word and all of a sudden you're walking down and someone speaks something to your life, you're like, I just read that. God was just speaking that to me as well. And God is confirming his word in your life. And that's when you know that you're truly in tune with God, because God is coming from every side of you, reminding you, because he knows we need it. He knows we need that reminder each and every day, right? I love this. He said to her, "Give me your son." Then he took him from her bosom and carried him up to the upper room where he was living and laid him on his own bed. He called to the Lord and said, "O Lord, my God, have you also brought calamity to the widow with whom I am staying by causing her son to die?" Now, I believe that this isn't a question so much as in questioning God, but really someone who's seeking, "Lord, help me understand. Help me understand what my role is in this. Help me understand what has just happened here. Help me understand what it is that you are doing," right? Because Elijah realizes that he does not have the answers. All he can do is do what God is going to tell him to do. All he can do is try and explain it by coming to God and saying, "Lord, what's going on here?" Right? And as he receives those answers, then he will be able to deliver the message, the life-giving message. And that's the same for every one of us. That as we're walking through our lives and as God is growing us and expanding our territory and expanding the area of influence that we have, that we should be coming to him in every situation. Say, "Lord, hold on a second. I don't know what to do here. I'm faced with this challenge," because God never does anything the exact same twice. And the reason being is because we would then start to just do cookie cutter, right? And we would start becoming religious in what we're doing. And that's where religion, even though they're maybe their hearts are towards, you know, doing things right, the heart of God is that we would do things as he instructs, right? Not that we would do things right, right? Because who am I to say what is right and what is wrong, right? I might have a certain understanding for it. I may have certain guidelines, right? But my interpretation even of that can be off. My interpretation can be, off because of my experiences or because of my understanding. But if I come to God and God says, "No, this is what I want you to do," then it doesn't leave anything for my interpretation. I just do what God has told me to do, right? And then he stretched himself upon the child 3 times and called to the Lord and said, "O Lord, my God, I pray you, let this child's life return to him." The Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child returned to him, and he revived. Now, this is truly from drought to life, right? How many of us have that true trust in God? Where no matter what it is we're facing, where it seems overwhelming for us, where it seems even impossible for us, that we actually turn to God and say, "Lord, what is it you want me to do?" And then we're in that place where we can hear God speaking. You know? Because I can assume that God wants to do this. I can assume that God wants to do that. I can try and say, well, obviously, you know, I can apply God's word because there's so many promises of God. But it's about applying God's promises specifically and correctly for that situation. Because God's promises are yes and amen in God's hands. And as we come to before God, we have to be clear in how we're applying. If God says, yes, breathe life into that person, right? Then yes, then I should be willing to say, all right, Lord, I'm going to be obedient to you and I'm going to do what it takes to breathe life into that person, whatever that looks like. But Lord, I need you to instruct me. I don't even know how to do that. And allow God to instruct us on how to do that. Allow God to lead you into how to do that, right? And again, here in 23 and 24, it says, Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, see, your son is alive. Then the woman said to Elijah, now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord is in your mouth. That the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth. And I love that because she said, now I know, right? That yes, she saw a sign. Yes, she saw a wonder, right? Yes, she saw something that was beyond her ability to believe. But God was stretching her, right? We have to be in the same place where we're looking to God to show us. Because there's so many things that we rely on in the physical. And we trust God based on what's in the physical. But God can do in the physical, right? A supernatural work. He'll do a supernatural work that'll manifest in the physical, right? And then we see that, and we see that, we're like, oh, wow. There's no way that could have happened any other way except by God, right? Now, he has grown his woman from someone who was about to just take her last meal with her son and the two of them were going to go die, right? He has taken her from there, and I'm sure there'll be plenty more growth opportunities in her life. But he has taken her from a place of being suicidal, if you will, to a place of saying, I know that the word of God is in your mouth is truth, right? Now there's a new confidence even in her, right? And I guarantee you that God, with the story, or the historical event, I hate to say story, the historical event here actually, you know, stops for us here. It goes on, right? But I guarantee you there's so many more object lessons that she goes through. And even as we see, Elijah just continues to go on and on and on. And there's so much more that Elijah accomplished. And so much more that is done by God's use of Elijah for the people of Israel. Right? God's desire is that we would be those people. That we would be the Elijahs of today, we say, right? That we would be that those children that he is breathing life into. And the only way we can do that, we cannot do it in any other way except come before God and say, Lord, here am I. Here I am. Lord, this is my situation. This is what I'm facing. This is the events that I believe you are causing me to walk in. I see my sister. I see my job. I see my workmates. I see my spouse. I see all these things, right? Lord, I don't know what to do with this. I don't know, I don't have the answer to how it is that you want me to resolve or how it is that you want to resolve every one of these situations, but I'm willing. I am willing that you would use me. I am willing to be obedient to your direction in every single one of these situations. So Lord, I'm laying myself before you. But we can't do that until we come before God and actually, you can't say something like that to someone that you have no trust in. There's someone that you have no relationship with. And even if you do say it, they're empty words. But when you come to a place of a relationship with someone, when you come to a place of that depth in the Lord, where you can truly trust him for life itself, even from a place of complete drought in your life, that even in that place, if you're in that place, there should be an expectancy that this drought is going to come to an end. And this drought has its reason, has its purpose in my life. So I'm not going to pray, Lord, take me out of it. Elijah didn't spend 3 years sitting by the brook saying, all right, Lord, when? All right, Lord, when's it over? All right, Lord, when's it over? He spent his time seeking God. And it's evident because of how he actually responds to the rest of it, right? He was seeking God, developing it closeness with God. And we need to be in that same place. So for 2025, I just urge you, if this is not something that you're doing, if this is not something you're in the habit of doing, start today. Don't let this message fall on deaf ears, because this is not a message about Elijah. This is a message for each and every one of you. Every one of us. This is a message that God is trying to deliver to us for 2025. Trust me. Not me. God is saying, trust me. For every situation you're in, even if you're in a drought, even if you're at that place where you are the life giver, trust me. Because it's only by my hand, it's only by God's direction, only by God's hand that we will be able to continue to sustain life in ourselves and then be a life giver to others, right? Because the word of the Lord will be actually moving through us. It won't be my power, it won't be my thoughts, it won't be my ideas, it'll be the ideas of the Holy Spirit. It'll be the power of the Holy Spirit. He will be the one ushering forth all that I do and say. And from there, life will spring forth. And that would be a glorious day for every one of us. And I really want to encourage you. I know this seems like a word that is almost impossible, or can be seem impossible to, you know, adhere to or to actually advance to. But it should be an encouraging word. It should be a word. It's like, because it's not difficult. It's just doing what we said at the very start. Get in prayer. And even if you're struggling in that on how to pray, ask God to give you a desire for prayer. Ask God to give you an excitement about prayer. Ask God to give you an ear to hear how to worship Him correctly. Ask God how to even ask you, how do I confess? Lord, I don't know. I say I'm sorry, but I seem to fall into this all the time. Lord, how do I repent of these things? Show me how it is that I can turn and walk away from them and not be continually tripped up by these things in my life. Lord, I want to be your servant. I want to be a vessel of life in your hands. And if that takes drought, if that takes months of drought, if that takes time of me just sitting before you, not knowing what tomorrow is going to bring, but relying on you for my provision, then Lord, I'm ready, I'm willing, I'm able. I want to be used by you. And if we approach 2025 with that, I believe that God is going to do mighty things to Orange County Gospel Fellowship. And not just Orange County Gospel Fellowship as proclaiming Orange County Gospel Fellowship, but you are Orange County Gospel Fellowship. You know, you are Orange County Gospel Fellowship. So God is going to do mighty things in each one of your homes, on your jobs, in your families. But we have to set our eyes on God. We have to trust God. We have to be in that place where we're seeking after God. Where we're imploring God, say, Lord, show me. Because I know that my ways are not your ways. I know that I cannot do anything outside of your strength. So Lord, allow me to enter in. Allow me to understand you in this way and allow me to be used. Allow me that privilege, Lord, to be used by you, to bring even myself and others from drought to life in 2025. So praise God this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Of the world, right? Allow God to use you mightily throughout 2025. It starts by setting a time aside, by being purposeful about setting a time aside with God and saying, Lord, I am going to meet with you, and in being consistent in meeting with God and allowing God to minister to you. Bring all the situations that he has you in, all the things that are concerning you, all the things that are causing you to be stirred up in your spirit, stirred up in your life, place them before the Lord. And allow God to show you in each and every situation how it is that he desires to address each and every one and use you for them. So as we go today, I just want to pray that God would do that in each one of our lives. Father God, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you for your word today, Lord. I thank you, Father God, that you have shown us, Lord God, that your desire is to be prevalent, to be, Lord God, be an ever-present help in our times of trouble, our times of distress, oh Father God, and that you are growing us continually from image to image and from glory to glory. So Lord God, I ask, oh Father God, that even as we go today, oh Father God, that we would leave with a new and a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit, that there will be a newness, an excitement, a joy, an expectation even, oh Father God, that will cause us to rise up, oh Father God, and to seek after you, and to seek after how it is that you would use us mightily throughout this year, oh Father God. Oh God, let you be glorified, let your way become our ways, oh Father God, let your thoughts become our thoughts, let us be used by you in mighty ways. Oh Father God, we thank you, we give you all the praise, all the honor, all the glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The altars are open if you do want prayer. Hallelujah.